when the weather suddenly changes. NBC Boston's early warning weather has you covered. The NBC Boston team has the tools and the technology to keep you safe. With Sky Ranger flying high over Boston watching the roads, or Storm Ranger, our one-of-a-kind mobile Doppler radar, and Weather Warrior, our four-wheel drive storm chaser. When the weather changes, early warning weather has you covered. On the only NBC station in Boston, NBC Boston Channel 10.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Friends of Kevin Radio Show. The Friends of Kevin Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, send me an email to kevin@friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group, please visit our website at friendsofkevin.com. It's exciting to have my longtime friend James Andrews with us from Andrews Landscaping. Hey, Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kevin, great to be here. Thank you.
Hey, so Jim, coming into the fall season, so I got some questions about landscaping. So if I'm having trouble, you know, with my lawn, when is the best time to try to correct out? When's the best time to renovate a lawn?
Well, most people think it's spring, but really fall, late summer, fall is the best time. The reason being, after August 15th, there's no more weed seeds that will germinate. So you're not competing with any weeds. It's all whatever germinates for the lawn seed, it's your lawn. So definitely this time is the best time. You've got another 4 weeks before, you know, next 4 weeks, you should do it if it needs to be done.
So, Jim, I think when people hear us say renovate a lawn, they think it involves tearing up the entire old one. Is that really what it is?
No, not necessarily. In most cases, I have a machine that I can keep everything intact and use the machine, does all the work, and then plants all the seeds, start a fertilizer. I leave instructions of, you know, how to water it and take care of it. And I'll tell you, people are amazed. I've got pictures before and after that are amazed how good it came up without ripping everything apart.
Wow, that's really cool. Jim, I have to admit, I'm a little confused right now with trees changing colors. It really hasn't been cold, but as I sit in my house looking out the window at the trees, they're already turning. Why is that?
Yeah, I get that question a lot, and it's very simple answer. Those are the trees that are weakened. They're stressed. A lot of times it's because they have a lot of dead branches. They might have had a little bit of drought problem, but trees are kind of like people. You get the nice, strong, mild, calm ones, and then you get the stressed ones that kind of go all over the place. So it's definitely those are the weakest trees. If you see them changing colors, they need some help, either pruning or feeding.
So talking about that, Jim, when is the best time to prune a tree?
When I went to school, they said the best time is when it needs it. So basically, the best time, when the dead branches, yeah, no matter what, the dead branches need to be taken off as soon as you see them. Because what happens is the tree is still trying to send nutrients and water to those dead branches to no avail because they're dead. So they need to come off so the tree can reinvigorate itself with the live branches.
Jim, how do I know if I can save a tree? So if there's like 30 to 40% of the branches are dead, is it still a good tree? Can you save it?
Yeah, I've saved many, many trees. Haven't lost too many. If it's under 50%, definitely just getting the dead wood out of there makes a huge difference. And then I do the tree feeding, organic tree feeding as well, and it turns them right around. You'll be surprised.
Jim, I see some homeowners, you know, they may have a small tree trying to prune it themselves. Is that a good idea? Is there something special you need to know when you're pruning a tree so you don't harm it?
Absolutely. I try to discourage people, not because I'm in the business and get paid to do this, but if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to cause more damage. What people do, Kev, is they'll cut the dead branch, but they don't know how far back to cut it to the trunk. So they leave like a 2 or 3 inch, in the business we call them coat hangers. Worst thing you can do, because what happens, those coat hangers will start to rot because you've cut the branch. And that's how the insects get into the tree and do damage. So if you don't cut it back, in the business, it's the ridge collar. I'll get a little technical, but this is how you do it. If you cut it to the ridge collar, which is before the cambium layer, the tree has the automatic ability to heal itself. It's called compartmentalization, and it'll seal over that wound. But if the homeowner leaves a 3-inch branch sticking out, it can't seal the wound, and that's how you can lose a beautiful tree by doing it the wrong way.
So, Jim, let's talk a little bit about your training, because you're actually an arborist. So first, tell people what that is and how you got that type of training.
Yeah, I'm a certified arborist. I went to Essex Agricultural Institute in Danvers, Mass. Great school. It's a huge campus, and they have all the different specimen trees right on campus. So the professor, we learn everything about trees from soup to nuts. You know, it's incredible how much you don't realize. You just see a tree and say, oh, that's pretty, but how much what it's doing. Of course, it produces oxygen so we can breathe. It takes in carbon dioxide, pollutants, and, you know, turns it into oxygen. There's so much that a tree does that people really, unless you start studying it, you really don't appreciate how wonderful a tree is.
So, Jim, you also are qualified to do landscape design, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I went to school, Essex Agricultural. We studied Olmsted, which was a early 1900 designer. He designed a lot of the parks in Boston and New York. So I have a lot of his training that when I design, I'll go in and tell the people, this is what I'm going to use. And I like to use color. So if I design a landscape, you're going to have spring color, summer color, fall color, and even winter color. That way, each season, you've got something going on in your landscape that's, you know, catches your eye, and it's pretty.
I find that to be a challenge for most people. For us, kind of knowing, you know, which plants, you know, will come up at each season, where you drive by someone's house in the spring and it looks beautiful, and then, you know, a month later after that season's gone by, it's just bare. So the trick is to kind of have different things coming up, right?
That's it. Yeah, you've got all different plants. There's hundreds of different plants. And you have to know, Kev, too, the size. A lot of people go to a garden center, again, you know, it's a novice mistake. They'll see a little plant. Oh, that's cute. But they don't realize it's going to get 25 feet tall, and then they put it too close to the house, and then they got to call me to come and chainsaw it down. So you're really better off, you know, not sure, just to get professional opinion. And I, you know, I'll do designs, and you can do the planting if you want. But I'll provide a design for you, and it'll save you so much money in the long run.
Well, true, because aren't there certain plants that grow better, some in light, some in shade? Doesn't that factor in too?
Absolutely, definitely. You've got, I'm doing a design right now for a client that he's got full sun in the back, and we put in hardscapes and actually got a little waterfall, and I've got to pick just full sun plants. So I'm happy to do that. But if I put in like hostas or things that like shade, they would get fried. And that's what a lot of people, they'll call me and say, Jim, I put all this stuff in and I thought it was going to do well and it's all dead. Well, there's a reason, because it either didn't like sun or it didn't like shade. So you really got to know, this it's a science to it, to learn all the different species and what they like, not just in shade, but also soil conditions. People don't realize the soil conditions make a, you know, they think you just dig a hole and plop plant in there. You can't. If you've got clay and you dig a hole and stick it in clay, the plant will actually drown. So when I plant anything, I amend the soil. If it's too sandy, I'm going to put some compost with some good topsoil, and I amend no matter what in the soil, because the conditions are so different at each place I work.
So, Jim, is bark mulch just used to decorate a planting bed? You know, in my neighborhood, everyone throws down bark mulch each year or, you know, every other year. But it just, because that's what everyone else is doing. So what's its real purpose?
It's funny. The last reason on my list for using bark mulch is decorative. The best thing, I'll give you three different points that I use when I'm talking to the client. First of all your plants, no matter what plant you put in, they like acidic soil. So guess what? Being bark mulch from a tree, it's very acidic. So as it breaks down, it's actually feeding your plant, number one. and it's making the pH soil acidic so that the plant will thrive in that. Number two, it keeps the soil moist. Most people, you know, you don't see them out there at night unless they have a sprinkler system watering their plants, which you don't have to do every night anyway. But if you've got mulch down there, it keeps that soil from drying out. And once it rains or you do water it, it keeps the water, the moisture table there so much longer. And what's the third one? It's it keeps the weeds, you know, keeps the weeds down too. I've gone into places where they planted stuff, but they didn't put any mulch, and the weeds are just about, you know, weeds are tough. They'll take over anywhere. So it's the mulch and, you know, keep the weeds from taking over.
But now, Jim, does bark mulch attract termites or other insects?
I get that question all the time. Absolutely not. If you see them, people say, well, I saw it in the mulch. If you see anything in the mulch, it's because those insects already are there on your property. They weren't brought in from all the time, and I truck mulch all the time when I'm doing a job. I've never seen one insect in the mulch, not one, honestly. So if you've got termites, that's a different problem. It wasn't from the mulch. You've got them on your property or any other insect. They're just on your property. Mulch does not, definitely not attract.
Jim, one of the things you mentioned earlier was watering. I'm sure you get questions on that all the time. How often should we water? How long should we water for? Any rule of thumb to that?
For lawns, Kevin, or plants?
Yes. Yeah, lawns.
Okay, lawns, especially in the summer, what happens is once the temperature goes over 80 degrees, the lawn actually wants to go to sleep. It wants to go dormant, you know, just like us. If it's too hot out, we get kind of sleepy. But the lawn, it goes dormant. It's not dead. People say, oh, my lawn's dying. No, it's not dead. It's gone dormant. That's why people who have sprinkler systems, I usually recommend sprinkler systems. If you really want to keep your lawn beautiful all year round, it's worth the $2,000 investment or $2,500, depending on the size of your lawn, to do a sprinkler system. That way, it artificially wakes the lawn back up because it keeps it moist and keeps it cool. But rule of thumb is if you get full sun, it's best to water, you know, maybe in the summer, every 2 or 3 days, either early morning or early evening, and that should do the trick. Don't overwater either, because people, you know, overwater a lawn as well and drown it, depending if, you know, like, again, if you have clay soil that holds moisture, you have to, it's kind of a fine line. I recommend there's a moisture meter you can get, stick in the ground. It's cost $10 on Amazon, and that, I use it for plants and for lawns, and it tells you right where the moisture level is.
So, Jim, I got about a minute left. What's your contact information? How can people learn more, bud?
They can email me at jamesrandrews1@gmail.com. The name of the company is Andrews Landscaping and Tree Service, and my direct number is 978-726-8843.
Jim, really appreciate you taking the time out of day to come on the show. And as always, thanks for being my friend.
Hey, thanks, Kevin, and thanks for having me.
Have a great day. Bye now.
When the weather suddenly changes, NBC Boston's early warning weather has you covered. The NBC Boston team has the tools and the technology to keep you safe. With Sky Ranger flying high over Boston watching the roads, or Storm Ranger, our one-of-a-kind mobile Doppler radar, and Weather Warrior, our four-wheel drive storm chaser. When the weather changes, early warning weather has you covered. On the only NBC station in Boston, NBC Boston Channel 10. When the weather suddenly changes, NBC Boston's early warning weather has you covered. The NBC Boston team has the tools and the technology to keep you safe. With Sky Ranger flying high over Boston watching the roads, or Storm Ranger, our one-of-a-kind mobile Doppler radar, and Weather Warrior, our four-wheel drive storm chaser. When the weather changes, early warning weather has you covered. On the only NBC station in Boston, NBC Boston Channel 10.